Thank you for joining me for the East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Today we are going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Santan and Queen Creek. So if you're ready, let's get going. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, July 23, 2025, and written by Howard Fisher. Schools aren't responsible for keeping students safe when they're en route to school or even just outside the school boundaries, the Arizona Supreme Court ruled last week. In a unanimous decision, the justices said schools are liable for providing safe conditions when students are on campus or, at the very least, exercising custody or control over them. But Chief Justice Ann Scott Timmer said that's not the case when a student is injured while crossing the street, even one adjacent to the school. Timmer acknowledged that the Phoenix Union High School District was aware that some parents seeking to avoid lines were dropping their youngsters off in a dirt lot across the street from the school. And in this case, the student was struck by a vehicle while jaywalking across that street, as there was no crosswalk there. She said none of that, however, creates any sort of legal duty on the school to protect the student from danger. The ruling sets a new statewide precedent. Timmer said the justices have never addressed this situation before. In fact, the decision overturns a contrary ruling by the State Court of Appeals that had concluded the student's parents had a right to sue. According to court records, the student, identified only as CJ, was a freshman at Betty Fairfax High School in Levine. The area in the morning, according to Timmer, was hectic, with some parents dropping their kids off in the parking lot adjacent to school. But other parents, seeking to avoid the line, went into the school grounds, pulled into a dirt lot across 59th Avenue, with the students jaywalking across the street. BFHS officials did not tell parents to drop their children off at the dirt lot, the justice wrote, but they were aware of the practice and did nothing to stop or warn parents or students that the practice was unsafe. CJ, in jaywalking in August 2021, was struck by a vehicle and suffered serious and permanent injuries. His father's suit claimed the district had some control over whether to pursue safer options for students coming and going from school ground or at least warn students of the traffic dangers. What's clear in the law, Timmer wrote, is that while schools have a duty to protect students, that is not without limits. A school owes a duty to protect students when a known and tangible risk of harm endangers them while under the school's custody and control, she wrote. That duty exists most often when students are injured while at school or participating in off-campus school-sponsored activities. But, she said, there are rarer circumstances where a duty to protect students exists while a student is under the custody and control, but an injury occurs while the student is outside that custody and control. That, she said, was not the case here. Timmer said all the evidence was that the high school had reasonably safe means if ingress and egress with multiple entrances and exits for pedestrians and vehicle. And she said nothing about these created a tangible risk of harm that endangered CJ and resulted in his injuries. Timmer said while a risk of harm from jaywalking existed in front of the school, it existed everywhere along the routes students take from home to school. She said the risk was not created by the configuration of entrances and exits, but from the fact that crossing a street outside a crosswalk creates the risk of being hit by a car. And she said the fact that traffic backed up on 59th Avenue due to drivers wanting to go into the parking lot did not make the ingress and egress at school unreasonably dangerous. CJ was not entering BFHS at the time of the accident. He was traveling to a school entrance, Timmer wrote. This is a distinction with a meaningful difference, she said. A school does not have a duty to protect students from dangers that arise when the school is not exercising custody or control over the student. End of story. Our next article is entitled $30,000 Grant Sought for Apache Junction, Santan Valley Boys and Girls Clubs. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent July 24, 2025 and written by Richard Dyer. A request to authorize the submission of a grant application by Boys and Girls Club of the Valley for $30,000 for program activities was approved recently by the Pinal County Board of Supervisors. Boys and Girls Club of the Valley sponsors two clubs serving Pinal County youth, the Superstition Mountain Club in Apache Junction and Santan Heights Club in Santan Valley, it states in a written grant application narrative. The supervisors voted unanimously July 2nd on a consent agenda with other items to approve a resolution seeking the funding from the Ok-Chin Indian Community Shared Revenue Program and for Pinal County to serve as the fiscal agent. The grant would support program activities January 1st through December 31st, 2026 at clubs in Pinal County, Boys and Girls Clubs of the Valley President and CEO, Marcia Mintz said in an application. Boys and Girls Clubs of the Valley serves youth ages 5 to 18 in Pinal County clubs with 48% from families living below 150% of the federal poverty level, 47% identifying as persons of color, and 56% living with a single parent or adults other than a parent, she said in the application. Funding is requested to support development programming for youth ages 5 through 18, concentrating on their academic success, healthy lifestyles, good character and leadership, and career pathways and workforce readiness, Mintz said. End of story. Richard H. Dyer can be reached at rdyer@iniusa.org or on X at rhdyer. To voice your opinion on this story, connect with us at azopinions@iniusa.org. Our next article is entitled, Queen Creek Police Get $50,000 Grant for DUI Enforcement. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent July 24, 2025, and written by Janet Perez. The Queen Creek Police Department has a new tool in its efforts to stem an increase in juvenile DUI drug arrests. QCPD received a $50,000 grant from the Arizona Governor's Office of Highway Safety that will pay for overtime and other employee-related expenses to support enhanced DUI/impaired driving laws and expand public education throughout the town. The grant, awarded through the Arizona DUI Abatement Council, was accepted by the Queen Creek Town Council during its July 16th meeting. The grant approval was on the council's consent agenda, in which all items are decided through one motion and vote. Quote, between 2023 and 2024, QCPD reported a 21% rise in DUI drug arrests and nearly double the number of juvenile DUI arrests. These incidents are frequently tied to the rise in underage use of THC vape products, end quote, a council staff report stated. Quote, the department has already responded by expanding community outreach, partnering with schools and parents, and boosting participation in regional DUI enforcement task forces across Maricopa and Pinal counties. The grant will fund $36,232 in personnel overtime for DUI enforcement operations, especially during evening and weekend hours. The grant also will fund $13,768 in expenses to cover mandatory benefit costs related to the overtime. The grant money will not pay for materials, supplies, or capital equipment. The grant, which ends on June 30, 2026, has two key objectives. Increasing DUI arrests by 10% by focusing enforcement on high-risk times and locations. Raising public awareness through digital outreach and town partnerships to reach at least 10% of the community or 8,000 people through educational posts and events. The department must provide a final report on its results by July 31, 2026. Since QCPD launched in January 2022, the department's traffic unit has expanded from a part-time sergeant and two motor officers to a full-time sergeant and seven motor officers as of March. This expansion mirrors Queen Creek's population increase. now exceeding 83,000 residents, along with approximately 150,000 vehicles traveling through town daily, the report continued. In October, the town council accepted two other grants from the Governor's Office of Highway Safety, totaling $90,000. Among the goals related to the grants is providing drug impairment training for educational professionals, courses for schools in the Queen Creek Unified School District. Quote, the program helps educators recognize possible signs of drug impairment and distinguish them from potential medical issues, end quote, according to a QCPD statement. Quote, this training equips school staff to respond appropriately and support student well-being, end quote. The courses teach a systematic approach for recognizing and evaluating students in schools who may be abusing and impaired by legal and illegal drugs. The courses also provide intervention tools. End of story. Please send your comments about this article to azopinions@iniusa.org. We are committed to publishing a wide variety of reader opinions as long as they meet our civility guidelines. Janet Pettis can be reached at jpettis@iniusa.org. Our next article is entitled Sun Lakes Rotary Club Seeks New Members. This was posted in the Santan Sun News, July 28, 2025, and written by Dr. Honora Norton, guest writer. Come join Rotary Club of Sun Lakes to meet fascinating and engaging speakers and participate in rewarding community service projects. The Rotary Club of Sun Lakes, chartered in 1986, is a leadership organization made up of men and women from local businesses, professional, education, civic, and emerging leaders. Members meet regularly, get to know each other, form friendships, and get things done in our greater Sun Lakes community and well beyond. Visit and join the group and share our passion for community service and friendship. The club meets at the Sun Lakes Saguaro Room at Sun Lakes Cottonwood Country Club, 25630 South Brentwood Drive on the first, third, and fifth Tuesdays of the month at 6:30 a.m. for breakfast, with the meeting program from 7 to 8 a.m. and at 4:30 p.m. the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month, starting with a light supper and the program from 5 to 6 p.m. A recent example of a fascinating and engaging program was club member Gary Kay's presentation of his experiences as a pilot for the U.S. Army in the Vietnam War. The club has planned several service projects that support veterans, and its annual Sun Lakes Electronics Recycle Day is scheduled for October 25th. The Rotary's 32nd Annual Golf Tournament at Oakwood Country Club is scheduled for March 8th. Its 40th anniversary dinner will be in April 21st. Contact Ed Anderson, RCSI Club President, for more information at 480-385-9266. Additional information you can reach at sunlakesrotary.com. End of story. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. We are focusing on the news of the past week for Santan and Queen Creek. My name is Leslie Hunt. I'm your volunteer reader. Continuing on, our next article is entitled Queen Creek P&Z Approves Rezoning for Downtown Medical Building. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent, July 24, 2025, and written by Janet Pettis. Plans to build a two-story, 20,000-square-foot medical building in the downtown core have received a boost. A Queen Creek Planning and Zoning Commission on Wednesday approved a recommendation for a site plan and to rezone 2 acres for the proposed Matheson Medical Building. The motion passed 5-0. Chair David Gillette was not present, and Commissioner Alex Matheson, who is a dentist and is developing the property, abstained from voting due to a conflict of interest. Adam Baugh, a partner at the law firm of Whitney Morris Baugh, represented the applicant, the Matheson family, at the commission meeting. I'm excited to bring it because you don't have a lot of these types of projects that come to Queen Creek, Baugh told the commissioners. More importantly, you don't have these types of urban projects, I think. The architect has done a great job executing the vision of the Mathesons. The project site at the southeast corner of Ocotillo and Ellsworth Loop Roads on a vacant lot. The commission approved staff's recommendation to allow for a project site plan and to rezone the land from general commercial to downtown core. The matter will go to the Queen Creek Town Council for final approval on Wednesday, August 6th. The proposed building will be bordered to the north by the under-construction The Switchyard Project, Breaks Plus to the south, Queen Creek Office Park to the east, and a Popeyes to the west. The Switchyard is a $120 million multiple-use project on the northeast corner of Ellsworth Loop and Ocotillo Road that is 10 acres with 54,000 square feet of restaurant, retail, and office space, plus a 215-residence luxury apartment community. It is on land formerly owned by the town, and construction recently started on the first phase. I love how these two projects worked hand-in-hand together, Baugh said. The site of the proposed building and two other properties south of it were intended to be located within the downtown core zoning boundary. However, the property's previous owner opted to keep the zoning as general commercial, according to a staff report. The rezoning request comes with a planned area development overlay that allows for flexibility in development standards. The overlay is required as developers are asking for three exceptions to downtown core zoning standards. First, office use in the downtown core is allowed, but it is limited to a maximum of 3,000 square feet. Quote, though the 3,000 square foot size limit is intended to discourage large medical offices uses within the DC zoning district, the project site location lends itself to provide for a larger medical office use while still providing a site design that encourages and supports a downtown setting as well as promoting pedestrian scale, end quote, the staff report stated. Other exceptions, as discussed by town principal planner Les Johnson, call for slightly smaller parking stalls and landscape islands. The project will provide pedestrian connectivity through sidewalks along Ellsworth Loop and Ocotillo Roads. With regards to the overall design and architecture, it's more of a desert contemporary, almost a little bit of mid-century modern elements within the proposed design, Johnson said. Some of the elements of architecture within the building will blend very well with the Switchyard project to the north. The building will be adjacent to Ocotillo Road with the main entrance on the building's south side facing its parking lot. The second floor will include an outdoor deck on the north and south sides with the southwest corner deck covered. This will be a great event space, if you will, that is covered, but it also provides some cover to the first floor where there's some public space as well, Johnson said. Along with providing landscaping, the developer will be building three decorative screen walls along Ellsworth Loop Road that will have art patterns depicting, quote, fauna native to Queen Creek, end quote, the report continued. It'll add some creativity and attraction to the site and be very complementary to the overall design, Johnson said. The applicant held a neighborhood meeting May 20th, which one person attended, and no issues or concerns were raised. When you have a project like this, to me, shows the maturity of Queen Creek, Boss said. It's weird to say this is an infill site, but truly, in Queen Creek, this is an infill site. And with infill sites, you need a little bit of creativity, a little bit of flexibility, and problem solving. When you look at this piece, I think it was someone's prior mistake to not go to downtown core zoning and sticking with general commercial, but now it's our chance to correct it. End of story. Please send your comments about this article to azopinions@iniusa.org. We are committed to publishing a wide variety of reader opinions as long as they meet our civility guidelines. Janet Perez can be reached at jperez@iniusa.org. Our next story is entitled Chandler Gilbert Community College Offering AI Degree. This was posted in the Santan Sun News, July 27, 2025. No author is listed. Chandler Gilbert Community College is launching a Bachelor of Science degree program in Artificial Intelligence and Machine Learning this fall. The fully accredited AI Bachelor's Degree program will offer an quote, experienced faculty and a robust curriculum focused on emerging principles and methodologies in the building of machine learning models, end quote, according to a release. Quote, this new bachelor's degree certificate is the latest product of CGCC's leadership in AI-focused education, making CGCC only the third community college in the nation to offer a bachelor's degree program specializing in AI, end quote, the release said. Chandler Gilbert Community College is proud of the work we have done on a local and national scale in the exciting field of artificial intelligence and machine learning, said College President Dr. C.J. Worster. Receiving approval to offer our first bachelor's degree in this field will allow us to continue to be at the forefront of AI and provide access to outstanding educational opportunities for our community. Our faculty and staff are committed to providing students with a high-quality educational experience, and we are excited to welcome the first group of students pursuing the first bachelor's degree that will be offered by our college. He noted that AI is becoming increasingly prevalent in the workplace and that employers recognize a growing skills gap, with 51% of businesses, quote, indicating that their employees lack the necessary skills to execute AI and machine learning strategies, end quote. In addressing this gap, Maricopa Community Colleges and Intel announced in 2020 the launch of Arizona's first ever AI and Machine Learning Associate Degree and Certificate programs at Chandler Gilbert Community College that spurred a series of innovative initiatives at the college, quote, aimed at equipping the next generation of professionals with the skills needed to drive innovation, including a first-of-its-kind AI incubator lab, an AI-focused teaching and learning summit, and participation in the National Applied Artificial Intelligence Consortium, end quote, the college noted. Offering over 70 academic programs at four locations and partnering with several high schools across the Southeast Valley on dual enrollment initiatives, CGCC prepares students for the workforce, four-year universities, and life overall. Quote, CGCC is dedicated to continuing to offer valuable certifications and courses designed to provide those pursuing higher learning the knowledge and skills they need to be competitive in the workforce and meet the demands of the future, end quote, the college added. For more information, you can go to cgc.edu/AI. End of story. Our next article is entitled Chandler Considering Ordinance on Bird Feeding. This was posted in the Santan Sun News, July 27, 2025, and written by Ken Sain. An unintentional consequence of one's neighbor's act of kindness is leading the Chandler City Council to consider an ordinance that would give code enforcers a new tool to address residents who feed wild birds. The council's neighborhood subcommittee directed staff to move forward on a possible ordinance to deal with the mess left behind from a large flock of birds that nest in a neighborhood. I want to caveat all of this as if you were to want to adopt a policy or even an ordinance, these are the recommendations, warned Leah Powell, the neighborhood services director. This has been a tough one for us. To give you a very clear, oh, absolutely, we need this ordinance, or we need a bad ordinance or whatever, it's one of those areas that just are difficult to enforce with or without an ordinance. In the past few years, a number of residents addressed council during its call to the public about birds in their neighborhood. They described thousands of dollars in damages done by birds to roofs and outdoor furniture because they said they had a neighbor who fed wild birds to such an extent it attracted a large number. One man said his neighbor puts out 20 pounds of bird feed, attracting hundreds of birds. Quote, I'm unable to use my property in the way that I should be able to without undue expense to protect my property, end quote, said a speaker at the subcommittee meeting. His name was inaudible in the recording, and he declined to give it to a reporter before the meeting began. Quote, I like the direction that you're going, end quote, he said. The direction given by the council subcommittee comprising Jane Poston and Matt Orlando and Vice Mayor Christine Ellis was to consider crafting an ordinance similar to Tempe's. Most East Valley cities already have ordinances to address bird issues. That includes Gilbert, Mesa, Scottsdale, Tempe, and Phoenix. Where they differ is that some only cover pigeons and others cover all wild birds. Tempe covers all wild birds. It has a penalty of $500 to $4,000 for civil violation with a criminal misdemeanor option. One change that Chandler will make from the Tempe approach is that one complaint will be enough to trigger an investigation. In Tempe, it takes three complaints to trigger one. The subcommittee also decided to focus on the problems that drawing a large number of birds to one area cause rather than just focus on someone actually feeding them. That might include noise complaints or excessive amounts of droppings, or if the large number of birds is drawing other predatory animals to the area. Powell said the city has had relatively few complaints about birds in recent years. Most of the complaints have been about pigeons. She said in the past 30 months, bird complaints represented 0.34% of the ones they have received. There were 45 total complaints since January 1, 2023, and 35 involved pigeons. All those cases were closed as unfounded or by voluntary compliance. Chandler's code enforces give residents multiple chances to fix whatever the issue is before it becomes a civil violation and possibly a court case. Staff said the issue with birds is that it's very difficult to prove a violation. If a neighbor claims an infestation, by the time an inspector arrives to check it out, the birds might have moved somewhere else. They may be able to see the large amounts of droppings, but under Chandler's current ordinances, there is nothing more the city can do about it. That is why they brought the proposal before the subcommittee, seeking to give code enforcers a new tool to address the problem. Staff would work with the city's legal team to come up with a proposed ordinance based on Tempe's and then bring it to a work session in front of the entire council. If council wishes, they would then take that feedback and rework the ordinance based on their direction before bringing it back to a council session for a vote. End of story. Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News for San Tan and Queen Creek. I'm Leslie Hunt, your volunteer reader. Stay tuned for the Arizona Republic coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.